Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
We want to start today with the scenes in the north overnight and look, the ongoing violence really in recent days. Incredible to see some of the scenes there. And as somebody that grew up in a border area in the mid-80s, you know, I have vivid memories of not being able to go to the likes of Enniskillen or Derry for Christmas shopping and the Saturdays in the lead up to Christmas for fear of the likes of a bomb scare. And it's been great as an 80s child now to live in, you know, in an era of peace, to never have to worry about something like that. But when you watch the videos in recent days of right across different parts of Northern Ireland, and in particular in Belfast last night, it's desperately sad to see it. It's unbelievable to see the scenes there. And we were only talking here on the show actually on Monday about the prospect, the potential of a united Ireland in the not too distant future, talking about flags and anthems being issues for people. And then you see the scenes in Belfast. Do you see a united Ireland in the not too distant future? When you look at the scenes in Belfast there last night in the past 24 hours, the one thing that struck me actually looking at those videos, looking online last night, was the age profile of the rioters, the age profile of the people who were actually taking part in this, because they're children. Like, they've actually no memory. Thankfully, they're too young to have any memory of what happened in the past. But I was so struck by the age profile of the people who were standing, in some cases on the sidelines, actually jeering them on. Physically jeering them on, encouraging them to get stuck in and to go out and to do what was happening last night. It was unbelievable to see it, like shouting, get stuck in, encouraging these young lads to go out and to do what was happening. Some of the people watching this were old enough to be those rioters' parents. Are they not the people that wanted peace for this generation? They didn't want these kids to grow up in the era that they grew up in. You'd absolutely wonder. It was incredible to look at it last night. We're actually going to stay with this on the programme today. It's 1894531106, because Paul Doherty is the SDLP rep for West Belfast. He's here with us on the programme. Paul, you were actually there at some of the scenes last night. Will you just describe what you saw?
Yes, certainly. Again, they were quite depressing scenes, and scenes which took us back to sort of darker days in Belfast. But as crowds gathered yesterday on the Springfield Road and an interface area at Lanark Way, myself and others were on the ground and tried to appeal to quite a large group of young people on both sides of the interface not to get involved and not to engage in these senseless acts of violence. Some listened, but the vast majority were intent on creating carnage. And I and others appealed to them about the dangers of their actions, of their consequences, and what it would have on both them and the people living in their communities. But certainly they need direction, they need guidance, and we need to see greater leadership where it matters on the ground in these communities.
This is what, the second or third night, Paul, at this stage of fairly violent clashes and rioting?
It's been ongoing, and we're concerned that it could escalate further, and that's why at this stage we need cool heads. And we need people on the ground, really, to try to talk these young people down.
One of the things that struck me from looking at, well, certainly videos, Paul, on social media, and look, you were there. You were right on the front line last night when this was unfolding, was the number of young people, or certainly they look to be quite young people involved in all of this. Is that the case?
Yeah, and that's the sad thing, really. Like, we've come so far here in Belfast, and again, especially in this last year where we have suffered considerably as a result of the pandemic, we did see people coming together more. And it saddens me to see that certainly our young people being involved in this type of sectarian violence. But again, I've talked to people from Falls, and I've talked to people from the Shankill yesterday and today, and many people are really sort of stressed about this and depressed about this. And again, these dark days, they must be put behind us. And there could be no going back to this sort of violence in our streets. We've come so far in this place, and we certainly can't turn back. And we don't want to see another generation caught up in violence and hatred. And we really need to nip this in the bud now.
How do you do that, Paul?
Again, I believe that we tone down some of the rhetoric we've seen in some quarters. And again, there is a real need for leadership and these people are basically being used as pawns in the streets. And we're seeing as a result of some of the rhetoric that violence has ensued on our streets. So we need to take that down. And we also need to see our political sort of leaders on the ground and taking these young people off the streets.
I spotted, just when you talk about leadership, a tweet from the First Minister in the North, Arlene Foster, overnight. There's been a lot of commentary about that tweet. What's your own reaction?
Again, to be honest with you, as someone who's kind of on the ground, I think at some stage there's a time for Twitter and Facebook posts, and I think that time has been and gone. As I say, it is a time now for political representatives to be on the ground, supporting communities and trying to engage with these young people and take them away from violence and taking the violence away from our streets. And again, it's something we need to move away from sooner rather than later before this escalates further.
In terms of the scene that you saw last night, petrol bombs and stones being thrown from both sides, Paul, is that a fair description?
It is, yeah. And again, where I was standing, I was engaging with young people and trying to talk them down. And again, I've seen children as young as 8 or 9 running into the middle of this madness. And witnessed one young teenage boy.
Okay, all right. Paul Doherty, SDLP rep for West Belfast. Thanks, Paul, for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today. Just talking, actually, about that rhetoric, as Paul describes it. The Northern Executive, they have released a statement in the past a couple of minutes saying that they are united in their support for law and order and also, too, giving their backing to the PSNI. Well, the former Taoiseach, Bertie Ahern, is with us here on the programme. Bertie, you are, of course, one of the architects of the Good Friday Agreement. Can I just get your reaction to the scenes last night?
Yeah, I mean, last night was the eighth night. It started off last week in Derry, fairly low-key, and then every night it's grown, and of course it escalated over the last 3 or 4 on the weekend. And there's further protests. I mean, on social media, there's protests organised, not sure by who. They're calling it a Day of Action. Protests for Saturday, which is the 23rd anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, and they're organised across, you know, Belfast City Hall and Lisburn and Larne, Carrickfergus, Racoole. So it's obviously there are people intent on trying to up the ante here, and unfortunately drag people onto the streets. And it's not unusual how all this thing can start and escalate and get momentum. It's young people start throwing stones and bottles and petrol bombs, and then it goes elsewhere. So, as Paul was saying there, it is a time to try and get a handle on this. And I think that requires everybody, you know, political leaders in the north, first of all, political leaders between the two governments, because they're the custodians of the Good Friday Agreement. And you know, I think it's time for a British Irish Intergovernmental Conference. That's one of the vehicles of the Good Friday Agreement, where the governments meet and discuss issues that are serious. I don't think they've had a meeting for a few years, so I think they should meet. They can do it by Zoom. And I think then you also need the community leaders to be active on the ground, and that's not easy for them, but I think they are doing their best. And youth leaders, community leaders, former combatants who have a lot of influence in these communities.
We can talk about the politics of it maybe as well, Bertie, in just a moment, but just as somebody who is an architect of, you know, bringing peace to this island, when you look at the age profile of the people involved in rioting in the streets, and in particular actually last night, it really struck me when I saw some of the footage online, like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, you see, what happens in some of these communities, unfortunately, there's a few people who aren't so young stir it up and you know, fill young people with you know, hate and trying to stir them up. Like part of the banners that have been up in the north now for several months. I mean, this has been brewing, Andrea, for some time. This has been a real concern of mine since last September, when, you know, and since the Story funeral, then there was the British government withdrawing the legislation on the withdrawal agreement, and then they restored it. So, like, there's been a whole series of issues. But their banner they've been using will not be the generation to fail Ulster. That's kind of the rhetoric they're using. So these young people are, you know, motivated out, and they think they're fighting to save Ulster, you know. So of course, this isn't new. Unfortunately, this has been a try and test this thing in the north, which we'd moved away from. But there's obviously a group, God knows how many, who are trying to stir us up. And it's a pity, because just at a time where we've been moving away from dissident Republicans have been really off the scene for some time. So you can see what some of them were at last night, trying to attack at the interface area in the Shankill. The Shankill, there was no trouble in the Shankill for the last week, but there were downright at the interface with the Catholic areas. And of course, that's just designed to get a retaliation. And that's not hard to do, unfortunately, in these areas, because the history and the stories and all of that goes with it. So it really is a time to try and get on top of it.
I heard the Foreign Affairs Minister, Simon Coveney, on News Talk Breakfast this morning talking about, you know, it's up to the leaders now to defuse this. And obviously the executive meeting at the moment, talking about all being united in their support for law and order, and the political problems require political solutions. I'm looking on Twitter here, Bertie, as I'm speaking to you today, at a tweet from Arlene Foster, the current the North's First Minister, talking about the scenes last night when a bus was attacked, saying it's not protest, it's vandalism and attempted murder. The actions don't represent unionism or loyalism. They're an embarrassment to Northern Ireland and only serve to take the focus off the real lawbreakers in Sinn Féin. My thoughts are with the bus driver. That's the tweet from Arlene Foster, the First Minister. What's your reaction to that tweet?
Yeah, you know, she's been very exercised about the whole story funeral for months and months, and it went through a process, and right or wrong, you know, she's entitled to review on that. But you know, people must know that when political leaders come out and up the ante and say things that can be very easily miscued, and not even miscued when people read what they're saying. And then at the same time, you're trying to stop people being involved in violence. I mean, there is a contradiction in it. And I just think everybody, you know, rather than condemning anyone, what you need is everybody just to stop it now and just, you know, calm it down. And if they want to, the one thing Tony Blair and I used to always say, that with Northern Ireland, with their politicians, they were always happiest when they were abusing each other, and sometimes very, very harshly. But at least that's okay. So if they want to say tough things to each other, right or wrong, you know, not forming judgment on it, they should say it to each other and try and say it behind closed doors at the executive meetings. But throwing it out into the public on social media, and then expecting young people who are misguided and are being misguided by others, who are troublemakers, you know, that's the bottom line. That's what you get. So the people just need to be careful.
Just maybe finally, Bertie, like the prospect of facing in, I'm sure, in the north to potentially another night of unrest, similar scenes to last night. You mentioned that this kind of day of action that's been called for over the weekend or on Saturday. What can the political leaders do? I know there's this, as I said, this emergency executive meeting on today, but what can they do to try and prevent that now in the next 48 hours?
Well, I think there has been a tension that's built up over a long period now. Probably, you know, people will say it started with the funerals, or did it start when the withdrawal agreement happened in September, or, you know, it doesn't really matter when it started. I mean, there's a series of events, and, you know, a lot of people have issued statements and made speeches, didn't get much attention because all the focus had been on the pandemic. But I've read a number of speeches over the last 5 or 6 months, and you could see where it was going. You know, they were saying about this huge discontent, this huge tension, and that's where it goes. And as soon as there's a vacuum in the north, and always was the case in the earlier days, you mentioned about the 80s, but it was all the way back, it was always the same, the 80s and the 90s when we were in the talks. If there was ever a vacuum, then it turned to violence. And what the politicians, to answer your question directly, Andre, is the politicians need to fill the vacuum, and fill in the vacuum by political action, not just being anti-violence, but, you know, if there are problems and disagreements, they should deal with them at the Assembly, they should deal with them at the Executive, and they should get on being positive. I mean, there was it yesterday, the day before, I saw a whole new advertising campaign about tourism to Northern Ireland on the other side of the pandemic, which is great. But, you know, unfortunately, shots of burning buses will go all around the world quicker than ads attracting tourists. So they need to realise that this is the economy, this is jobs, this is their own infrastructure, and you know, give that leadership. And I think secondly, the two governments as custodians have to be doing their bit as well. And then the third thing that's very important is, for several years now, probably for 20 years, if not more, since the ceasefires in the 90s, there's been very good community contact between both sides at the interface areas. And that has gone down a lot in the last few years. My information is that that kind of, you know, contact between people from loyalist communities, nationalist communities, has not been what it used to be. And I think community leaders should try, I know it's not easy, but try to restore that.
And just, I saw some commentary opinion pieces, for instance, in some of the papers today, I think in the Irish Times in particular. Do you think, should there be a compromise on in Northern Ireland or on the Northern Ireland Protocol? Do you think, is that needed, Bertie?
I think what is possible, and in fairness to Simon Coveney, what he was trying to do before the British government moved unilaterally was to find a way not of dropping the there's no question of the protocol being dropped, but to try and find out the practical impacts of the day-to-day operations of the protocol. So if there is difficulties about medicines and plants and, you know, the horticultural items, if there is, I don't know whether there is or not, but I mean, that's for people to look at. But if there is, I'm sure Simon Coveney is certainly open to try and find resolutions to that. And of course, that's the protocol is between the British government and the European Union. So it has to be in line with the single market. But okay, I'm sure there's a way of trying to get on top of that. And certainly, you know, our Minister of Foreign Affairs has indicated he was prepared to do that and was trying to do it before he was gazumped by the Secretary of State for the North, which wasn't helpful. But we better not be listing more problems, just try and find solutions.
Right, okay. Former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern, thanks for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today. We will be back after this. And we were talking about the scenes in Northern Ireland and in particular in Belfast last night. Ed has got in touch with us here on the News Talk text line. He says there's never been peace in the North. There's only been a truce. Anna's got in touch on 53106. She says all this talk of a united Ireland is riling people up. It's really stupid at the moment to be talking of a united Ireland. Softly, softly is the way to go if that's the majority that people want. And this listener says that they're in Leitrim and they'd vote no if there was a referendum here on Irish unity. It'll be absolute bad. Back to the old days, if there were to be a united Ireland coming about. You can keep them coming in to us, 53106. William is on the line in County Down. William, what are your thoughts on the scenes in the North in the past couple of days?
Oh, it's just so depressing to see that this has happened again. And it's equally depressing as it was totally predictable, because ever since really the turn of the year, where we've had language used by some of the politicians about the Brexit arrangements and various other things, it was pretty obvious. And, you know, if you followed it on social media, they were warned this was what was going to happen. And there have been several things that have happened within the past few days. There was the CPS decision not to make any prosecutions over the Story funeral. Plus, there was a large police operation against one of the UDA gangs in Southeast Antrim, and it was pretty obvious that this was going to happen. Hopefully, it will die over. It will fizzle out as quickly as possible. My hope would be that would happen. Yeah.
The scenes that, you know, where you're based, you're in County Down, William.
That's correct.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you describe some of the scenes that you've witnessed in recent days?
Well, just really what I've seen on television. Well, one particular one which really did shock me, because it's quite close to where my stepdaughter lives, and indeed I was quite concerned that she wouldn't be there at the time. And that was where I saw people being dragged out of their cars and their cars being burned just in Newton Abbey, which was really quite shocking. Thankfully, here in County Down, touchwood, so far there has been nothing. And as I say, hopefully this thing will die down over the next couple of days. I can't see it being a long-term measure, a long-term issue.
Okay.
Hopefully it will die down.
All right, William, listen, thanks for getting in touch with us here on the programme. John is on the line in Donegal. John, why did you get in touch about this?
How's it going? I just thought it's been a very sad thing to watch. And I mean, obviously sad with the echoes of the violence of the past and whatnot, but it's something that I've been watching now for years now, is this sad existential crisis that the loyalist community are going through. This, you know, this kind of recognition that times are probably a-changing and that a united Ireland could well be looming down the road, and that Britain really doesn't want to have much to do with them. And I think that is really sad, you know, that these people who have wrapped their identity around unionism, around loyalism, who consider themselves British, and, you know, it's their prerogative, absolutely, to identify as British, but the British themselves over in mainland United Kingdom they consider them Irish. You know, they look at the loyalists in Belfast and they're like, oh yeah, they're Irish, and it's like, no, we're British, and it's like, but no, I find it very sad, you know, that these people who have just who've based so much of their identity on this flag, you know, like even back looking back almost 10 years ago now in 2013 in the summer, whenever it was voted for Belfast City Hall would no longer be flying the Union flag every single day, and people rioted because, again, it was this slow kind of encroachment on unionist superiority or unionist supremacy in the north. And that, you know, times are slowly but surely getting beyond this. And I just find it quite sad. And I mean, it's something as well that people, you know, when people talk about a united Ireland, a lot of people often forget, you know, about the fact that these people will be part of a united Ireland.
We were actually only talking about the potential prospect for a united Ireland here on the show on Monday, because there had been a survey or a poll carried out of about a quarter of the politicians in Dáil Éireann on their views on it, and mainly the conversation tends to steer around, you know, the national anthem and tricolour and when a border poll might take place. And then, you know, I look at the text machine here today, and you look at the videos and the scenes from the north in the past couple of days, and in particular in Belfast last night, and I wonder, do people see a united Ireland when they look at the north in the foreseeable future?
But like when you look at 100 years ago, what happened? Now, fair enough, the unionist community in South Dublin is probably a little bit different to the unionist communities in Northern Ireland, but the you know, South Dublin was very unionist. James Carson, who was the first to sign the Ulster Covenant, was a dub. And, you know, like, they recognised, once we became the Irish Free State, they recognised, right, well, the British ship has sailed, and they got on with things. And, I mean, I'm not saying that it will be as straightforward, but I do think that there could actually be some potential really interesting political changes that comes with this.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of very interesting, I think, conversation and commentary in the aftermath too of this Northern Executive meeting that's happening too today. I just see there the Chief Constable of the PSNI is out speaking. We'll probably have more on that now in the news bulletin in the next few minutes, and political leaders in the north calling to for an end to the violence in recent days. The Stormont Assembly now taking place, of course, for statements in support of the rule of law. We'll have more on that in a few moments' time, but we leave it there for the moment, John.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.